Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Monday, January 18th, 2021, Martin Luther King Day. We'll come back to this, but like I said earlier, a little bit ago, let's talk about the government-led conspiracy to assassinate Martin Luther King Jr., because the mainstream media certainly isn't and won't. I don't think mainstream media can be relied upon to talk about it. And it's part of a broader conspiracy, and it still is changing things today. Part of that is the military-industrial complex, this world revolutionary movement that has, you know, low-intensity operations occurring all across the globe, creating these little hotspots to change people effectively. You know, you raise an area, R-A-Z-E, to raise it, to remake it. And, you know, that's what freedom and democracy, spreading freedom and democracy, which is a Bernaysian slogan, by the way, is really all about. And so that's expensive. And like Smedley Butler said, it's a racket. And to smash the racket, you take the profit out of it. If we take, in a time of conflict, when we're ever at conflict, if we have troops somewhere, he said 200 miles off our own coast would be plenty to patrol us and keep us safe. And if we take the profit out of war, if we're in time of war or conflict or theater or whatever euphemism the sophists want to use, whenever that's going on, whenever we're not at total peace as a union of several states, then everyone in the country, from the president to Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and everybody, gets paid what every E1 gets paid. And Smedley Butler said, if we do that, then probably within 30 days, all the wars would be over. You take the profit out of it. And that's part of what this whole, G. Edward Griffin called the Mandrake mechanism is all about. It's a Ponzi scheme to hypothecate currency. Anyway, so we're talking about a question, this question that you posed, Melissa. Generally speaking, if I could just sort of paraphrase it, your question was, what is the number? You know, we have all of these taxes, and taxation without representation was an issue that we heard at the founding of this country was the foundational issue. Because if you can do this, if you can tax us and steal our money, you can basically pay – you can tax us to raise standing armies against us and do other things that are abusive. So taxation without representation was an issue. And you were asking in the first hour, if I could paraphrase, what is the number? If we see all of these taxes that we pay published, what is the number that will get people connected to the reality of how abusive this is, and that we would try to do something to put a stop to it? Is that close?
Well, what I was asking you is, I guess, to put it another way, I was trying to find out at what point would we, for lack of another word, snap SNAP or not be able to handle it any longer, I guess is what I'm saying, because it's not necessarily the large taxes that will make you snap. Maybe it's the smaller taxes that will make you snap. Who knows what will do it? But like, you know, in my state, it is not disclosed, the gas tax, and the tobacco tax is not disclosed either, and the alcohol tax is not disclosed. There are probably other ones. So I'm just saying that there might be a connection with that. There might be a snapping point at which, you know, you just wouldn't be able to handle it anymore if you saw it, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. I think if we weren't so overwhelmingly propagandized to believe, you know, if we weren't inculcated into herd think and people look around and say, well, if no one else has a problem with this, I guess maybe it's not all bad, to just sort of inculcated into the belief that and the mindset that this is a necessary evil and there's nothing inherently particularly terrible about it, otherwise we'd all be objecting. If we didn't have that propaganda influence, then there might be a chance, because you started out and alluded to an experience I think every working person has ever had. You know, as a young person, I remember I was, you know, on the payroll at 12 years old at my grandparents' laundromat. And I did little odds and ends, but to be on the payroll and to get to wear the apron and stuff was a huge badge of honor. And I remember getting to do that and then getting my first real paycheck at the age of 12. And I was outraged. Who's stealing my money? Where did all of this go? What are all these deductions? I want my money back. That's my money. I earned it. And the foundational premise here in America was that we will all decide to pay taxes together. And basically, you know, in simple terms, we'll all decide what taxes we pay. And that's how taxation will work. There are a number of problems with that. And I think, again, as I was saying in the problems with, for bad guys, that is, you know, if you're a bad guy who wants to engage in central planning, you want to remake the world, you want to have, I mean, there are people, most of us, I think generally speaking, have a sort of live and let live mindset, which I would call particularly American. And though we might have certain predispositions towards certain people or maybe even certain people groups or whatever, that has a very limited reach. And then there are people who it's sort of a progressive transition. You know, they have a degree of success which emboldens them, and they think then they can bend certain rules or maybe lobby certain elected officials to make certain rules on their behalf, essentially. And I mean, there is the argument that guys like Robert Kiyosaki make that they're creating jobs and doing different public service and whatever. That's fine. But there's an element of a mindset that says, well, I'm successful and I've done this thing, and therefore I should be able to basically make choices for other people. And when you want to start doing those things, a constitutionally orthodox money system hampers those efforts significantly, which is why there was the effort throughout the history of America to create a central bank. And that scheme predates our Constitution. The Central Bank of England was chartered in 1649, I want to say, William of Orange. I forget the exact year. Anyway, the point is that the central banking scheme predates America, and it's been a way to control the world, like Quigley wrote in Tragedy and Hope, History of the World in Our Time. The central banking credit monopoly is a system that was intended to control all the governments in the world by controlling their banks. And they would all be member banks that are actually run by private corporations. And the apex of that system, as Quigley wrote, was to be the Bank for International Settlements. And so what you have in that scheme is a system that just creates problems that lead, you know, you fall forward in a domino sort of effect to ultimate control by these folks who control the purse strings of the central banking scheme. And then that's the bigger issue, as I was saying in the first hour. So, you know, I've mentioned on this broadcast how I have joked about running for mayor of the town that I was born in. And the question that I would ask the townspeople with this financial system, you know, if you go back to the money system of the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution reads, that the Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. But all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. Semicolon. And then skipping on down to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and foreign coin, and fix the standards and weights of measures. So it doesn't say print money, it says to coin money. And Jefferson wrote that paper is poverty. It is the ghost of money and not money itself. There were been several people who have been very outspoken on this issue. But, you know, speaking of coining money and fixing the standard of weights and measures, regulating the value thereof, Edwin Vieira wrote Pieces of Eight, the two-volume work, and he was featured in, well, among others, Aaron Russo's America, Freedom to Fascism, and explained all of this in, you know, summary fashion. But Vieira talked about the constitutional dollar being historically determinate, fixed way to find silver. Jefferson, speaking of paper as poverty, it is the ghost of money and not money itself. He was the guy that established that value. The Coinage Act of 1792, for instance, cites that the money of account of the United States shall be expressed in dollars or units of the value or mass or weight of a Spanish mill dollar as the same is now current, and to contain 371 and 4/16 parts of a grain of silver, 371.25 grains of pure silver. And so the point that I was making in the last segment is, if, for example, we paid people in Morgan silver dollars, you know, you made $1 per hour worth of work, and people were paid in Morgan silver dollars, I think the average value of a good condition Morgan silver dollars around $23 an hour. So we wouldn't need $15 an hour minimum wage. The silver dollar, the point is, the silver dollar, you might say, keeps pace with inflation, but that's a dishonest view of how this actually works. It's not the silver that changes value, and that's, you know, back to John Adams' point. That's one of the things that I think people have a hard time, because you've been indoctrinated to believe, for example, that, you know, we're watching the shadows on the wall in Plato's cave, thinking those are real. They're not. And so the point here is, when we hear that the dollar, you know, the price of silver is fluctuating, it's not fluctuating. Silver doesn't change. It's the purchasing power of this Federal Reserve note that fluctuates. And that, you know, for a variety of reasons, but the silver doesn't change. And that's why it keeps pace with inflation throughout time. And that's why bad guys try to prevent people from holding these things. It's why, you know, it was called hoarding back in the FDR administration. You can't hoard. How can you hoard money? This is called money. No, we have a new scheme. So the problem is, with this tax, the invisible tax of inflation, that even guys like Keynes, Mr. Bretton Woods himself, he wrote about it. I've talked about that many times. It's, you know, in the Economic Consequences of the Peace, among others. He wrote about this scheme to debauch the currency. And so what happens is, through the debauching of the currency by the process of inflation, you create a number of other problems. And that's all anticipated in this scheme that has been run for hundreds of years now. And basically what you end up doing, it's kind of like going to Vegas thinking that you're going to win and you know, you're going to take the house, and if I just gamble long enough, you know what, I'm going to win enough to buy this and to pay off that and to retire, and it never happens. Inflation is the same process. Eventually, whoever owns the printing press in this Ponzi scheme will have extorted people to the extent that they've stolen everything of substance, everything of real value, whether it's the means of production or natural resources or whatever. And then, you know, you control the people and you can do whatever you want. And that's the process that's at work right now. And so they created this scheme. They knew that they would, it would break eventually. Again, John Maynard Keynes, one of the central figures of the Bretton Woods Conference, knew that. He wrote about it in The Economic Consequences of the Peace. But they instituted this fractional reserve system. You know, again, just briefly, the Marshall Plan was the teeth of it, or the infrastructure that allowed it to work. And then because we still had the other system, you know, the two competing systems, the funny money system and the real money system, where a dollar, an actual dollar, was still redeemable in actual, the claim check, as it used to be known, was redeemable in actual money, or 371.25 grains of silver. That had to stop. And so, to Gresham's point, Gresham's law, bad money drives out good. Back in on August 15, 1871, the Nixon administration closed the gold window so that we couldn't have the two schemes in operation simultaneously, because that would empty the gold reserves in no time, as was actually happening. And so you have this funny money system that drives out the real money, that drives out industry. I mean, the quotes in our own history, guys like Andrew Jackson, for example, they talked about how this, it happens every time. Keynes wrote about it. You know, if you have this funny money system that comes in, it will, the economic system will devolve to a lottery and a gamble, is the way that Keynes put it. It drives out industry. It drives out creativity. It drives out the spirit of invention. And it just creates basically like a big casino. But the bigger problem is, and getting back to the point about running for mayor, I would ask this question of people. If I was running for mayor, I would say, this year we have, you know, we raise these taxes, and those taxes pay for these services. And let's just say it's at parity. We raise exactly this many taxes to pay for exactly this many services. Next year, inflation tells us the purchasing power of those taxes will buy less, and the services will cost more. There will be a widening disparity over time. How do we address that? And that's a scheme that's built into this scheme, and that is used to take advantage of people. I'll talk about how when we come back. Stick around. Be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue, and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed, and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When you were here before, it couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But
see if I can summarize graduate level stuff in a few minutes here real quick. So imagine you're playing the game Monopoly, and every time you pass go, your $200 buys less. Maybe we say, you know, every time you pass go, you get a dollar less. You know, you get 200 the first time, and every time you pass it after that, maybe you get actually $5 less. So 195, 190, 185, 180, etc. That would be irritating and frustrating, and it would be easy to see how, you know, it would be discouraging. That would seem unfair. And at the same time, it wasn't just one person who was the banker. It was a group of shadowy folks that you know, it was undisclosed. And they were printing more of those Monopoly notes, but you didn't know how many because there was never an accounting. Remember HR 1207, audit the Fed. I did a video on that. The only YouTube video I've ever done, audit the Fed, HR 1207 and the Financial Sector Assessment Program, the FSAP. What is that? You know, and that's one of the things that's gone away. Why is that? Anyway, Alan Greenspan in 1966, before the Nixon administration closed the gold window. Greenspan wrote, and you know, if you read what he's writing, interesting. So he wrote, the law of supply and demand is not to be conned. This was Golden Economic Freedom, published in 1966. The law of supply and demand is not to be conned. As the supply of money, of claims, parenthetically, claims? Yeah, the paper is a claim on real money. And the story went a million years ago, if you're traveling from the East Coast to the West Coast, you don't want to risk carrying all of your money, your gold or your silver with you, right? It's heavy. It might be stolen. Why don't you let us issue you a claim check on the East Coast? And when you get to the West Coast, you can redeem your claim check just like you would at a coat check. You can bring your claim check and get your money in exchange for this paper. And along the way, since, like John Adams said, we don't know about the nature of coin credit and circulation, the downright ignorance, you know, we've been bought off with this paper. That is not, it's poverty. It's the ghost of money and not money, money itself, as Jefferson said. And then we allowed the presses to be given away, stolen, hijacked. And so now there is literally a counterfeiting operation that has been sanctioned by Congress. Federal Reserve does that, you know, what you, if you and I did what the Federal Reserve does, we would be sent to prison. But the Federal Reserve can do it because Congress sanctioned it. It's a counterfeiting operation. So Greenspan said the law of supply and demand is not to be conned as the supply of money of claims parenthetically increases relative to the supply of tangible assets in the economy. Prices must eventually rise. So back to the monopoly example. In truth, instead of losing, you know, $5 every time you pass go, actually, what's happening is your purchasing power with the $200 that you get when you pass go is whittled away if there's more currency introduced in the game. And that's what the Federal Reserve is doing. So back to my point. The mayor says, hey, we have these taxes that pay for these services. Next year, because of inflation, the purchasing power of the taxes raised will be diminished. And at the same time, the services will require more units. They will cost more effectively, we'll say. And over time, there is a widening disparity. Purchasing power diminishes, services cost more. How do you address that? And states and municipalities and so forth have looked to the federal dole, you know, federal grants and things like that. And so those grants have strings. And that's how you control people. And that's part of what's going on now. If you're a state that disagrees with anything that's going on, then you hear, well, we'll yank your highway funding, or we'll yank your education grants, or we'll yank this or that. And because we have this funny money system, how can people deal with that? The problem, the bigger problem, though, we saw an example of during the so-called subprime contagion. And folks like Joan Vion were writing and talking about it extensively. The fact that we were told that our money system, oh, it's a failure. You guys don't know how to balance your books. So somebody else should, you know, take care of you guys and handle your checkbook. And so what does that portend? Stick around, I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer. Excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
By the way, speaking of the system of perpetual war, what we're talking about here is economic warfare. It amounts to economic warfare. So, bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Monday, January 18th, 2021. And speaking of state of perpetual war and the World Revolutionary Movement, so Melissa asks, you know, how do we get people to see? And I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, what would it take? You know, what would the collection of taxes be that would get people's attention and that we would be outraged enough to actually do something about this? And I think, you know, in my opinion, the simple answer is for people to understand how inflation works and how this confiscatory scheme has been perpetrated on people. And guys like John Maynard Keynes, who is the central figure of the Bretton Woods Conference, knew that this was a scheme that was bound to fail. It was not a mystery. Before the Bretton Woods Conference, decades before, John Maynard Keynes wrote about this scheme in The Economic Consequences of the Peace, published in 1919. And so, you know, just to throw that out there, the way that Keynes put it, he wrote in chapter 6 of The Economic Consequences of the Peace, Lenin is said to have declared that the best way to destroy the capitalist system was to debauch the currency. You have to understand, this was moments after the introduction of a new so-called central bank, you know, United States Central Bank. This is a thing that had been a point of controversy throughout our history. You'll find, if you do some research, that it seems that every time that the intriguers try to seize control of the printing presses or are trying to control our economy in one way or another. Someone gets whacked, you know, the president gets whacked or almost. Garfield and McKinley talked about this. You know, there's a controversy over the JFK administration. I think JFK was doing something to diffuse the state of perpetual war and to unite people. I think Martin Luther King was a force to do the same. I think that Malcolm X was doing the same. Anytime guys like Martin Luther King, you know, so just a little brief aside, since it's MLK Day, why was Martin Luther King assassinated? And my conjecture on the matter, generally speaking, is because he was a unifying force. He was definitely a very charismatic person who was able to capture the attention of people. And so that what was it titled? You know, the Beyond Vietnam speech that he gave April 4, 1967. Time to break silence. Remember, he said, time comes when silence is betrayal. And so, you know, he was, I mean, you hear William Pepper tell the story about how Martin Luther King was disgusted about the situation in Vietnam. And he was saying, look, it's time to draw a hard line in the sand. This cannot continue anymore. So he gave that speech April 4, 1967. And not coincidentally, he was assassinated a year to the day later. And that was a conspiracy, as folks like William Pepper proved conclusively. But why? And, you know, it was because Martin Luther King Jr. was a unifying force. If he... He could be a unifying force because of how engaging he was. There were a number of other folks around that time, you know, Bobby Kennedy, Cesar Chavez, Malcolm X, I think. Same kind of thing. You have guys like Martin Luther King Jr. who in COINTELPRO fashion were suborned, you might say. And their, you know, sins, whether committed or presumed or imputed, were held over their heads. And when someone like Martin Luther King Jr. says, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore, or Malcolm X says, you know what, you guys were watching me in prison, and then you groomed me into this, basically to be your COINTELPRO mouthpiece, a Judas goat, essentially. I'm not doing it anymore. And so these guys know where the bodies are buried, so to speak. And if they're going to break from their programming, their handlers, well, you know, they can't be kept around anymore, right? So I think that's that in a nutshell. But back to Keynes and how this scheme works, and guys like Keynes know about this. It's not a mystery. So in the economic consequences of the peace, peace is bad for war business. Keynes wrote, Lenin is said to have declared that the best way to destroy the capitalist system was to debauch the currency by a continuing process of inflation. And so, you know, just again, not to get sidetracked, but parenthetically, you will notice that, you know, guys like Keynes write the economic consequences of the peace. What are the economic consequences of the peace? It goes back to what I said, you know, citing Jefferson in his letter to Samuel Kercheval back in 1816. We must make our election between economy and liberty, or profusion and servitude. And when you get this funny money scheme, it always seems to bring war in tow with it. Huh, that's funny. Which is, you know, again, a process of remaking the world sort of dictates that you need to have these little nation-building spates, as the RAND Corporation would call it, around the world. As you remake, you don't want to remake, get everybody upset everywhere, but, you know, you do it here and there, and by degrees, gradually, over the course of time, you've remade the whole world. So this system, this funny money system, always seems to bring war in tow with it, which is why we've been in a state of perpetual conflict since 1913. Funny how that works. So Keynes is writing, and people don't realize that we didn't always have this central bank. There were some folks who said this is a problem. There were even high-profile folks like Charles Lindbergh Sr. and Congressman Louis T. McFadden. Speaking of people getting whacked who talk about this, poisoned, you know, and Jackson, his farewell address deals extensively with this issue, as I've mentioned many times. He was the target of a failed assassination plot, the misfiring of two pistols. So interesting how that works too, always that as well. So anyway, Keynes wrote, by a continuing process of inflation, and what is that? Just printing more of these funny money notes by a continue and printing or you know, the digital version now too, just creating and you know, a few zeros on a computer screen now. By a continuing process of inflation, governments can confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of the wealth of their citizens. By this method, they not only confiscate, but they confiscate arbitrarily. And while the process impoverishes many, it actually enriches some. The sight of this arbitrary rearrangement of riches strikes not only at security, but at confidence in the equity of the existing distribution of wealth. Those to whom the system brings windfalls beyond their deserts and even beyond their expectations or desires become profiteers who are the object of the hatred of the bourgeoisie, whom the inflationism has impoverished not less than of the proletariat. As the inflation proceeds and the real value of the currency, or purchasing power more accurately, fluctuates wildly from month to month, all permanent relations between debtors and creditors, which form the ultimate foundation of capitalism, become so utterly disordered as to be almost meaningless, and the process of wealth getting degenerates into a gamble and lottery. And again, this is something that has been talked about for hundreds of years, including in our own history. Lenin was certainly right, Keynes wrote. There is no subtler, no surer means of overturning the existing basis of the society than to debauch the currency. The process engages all the hidden forces of economic law on the side of destruction, and does it in a manner which not one man in a million is able to diagnose. And so I would argue this is the more abusive, more concerning tax we should all be aware of. We pay it somewhat uniformly. Those who play the first money game, so to speak, benefit from it, while those at the tail end of the first money game are abused most by it. But we all in America are abused by this scheme. And so the bigger issue, you know, again, if you just think about the Monopoly game, imagine, you know, in simple terms, you have somebody behind a curtain printing the Monopoly money and, you know, handing it out to do certain things or to, you know, for certain favors or whatever. How long would it take for that person or those people to control the whole game, all of the properties on the game? And then, you know, the players of the game are basically subject to those folks entirely. So when you and that's effectively what Congress did in 1913 with the passage of the Federal Reserve Act. Guys like Eustace Mullins and G. Edward Griffin and others have written extensively about that. And speaking of stuff that's been written, Vieira, again, Pieces of Eight, Edwin Vieira, that's a good read. If you're interested in the Keynes aspect, for those who are interested, get a copy of Zygmunt Dobbs' Keynes at Harvard, Economic Deception as a Political Credo. That's excellent. But if you have a monopoly on the printing press, as the Federal Reserve does. And again, as I mentioned in the first hour, go to the St. Louis Federal Reserve in Plain English series, the page, Who Owns Federal Reserve Banks? Page, opening words, the Federal Reserve Banks are not a part of the federal government. Most people don't realize that. You have a central banking credit monopoly, a private corporation, a series of private corporations that maintain a monopoly on the printing press of the what we call a dollar, the Federal Reserve note. The counterfeiting operation that's been sanctioned by Congress that creates inflation, and they know it does. You just heard me read from John Maynard Keynes' Economic Consequences of the Peace. He was the central figure, the Bretton Woods conferences, to institute this fractional reserve system, money system, this credit-based economic system, and he knew it would fail. He was the one who wrote, there is no subtler, no surer means of overturning the existing basis of society than to debauch the currency. And by a continuing process of inflation, governments can debauch the currency, can confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of the wealth of their citizens. And he was the guy who wrote, this process engages all the hidden forces of economic law on the side of destruction. Does it in a manner which not one man in a million is able to diagnose. So if you have a system that can print as much as they want, whenever they want, and pay off, buy off whomever they want, whenever they want, they can pretty much do whatever they want. We still have the Constitution. We still have Article 1, Section 8. If we would force Congress to abide by it, it would, I dare say it would eliminate, you know, the vast majority of ills from which we suffer in America. And there's been this conversation, you know, it's been had on this network for, gosh, you know, 10 years ago, I guess when during, you know, Ron Paul's last bid for president. I think we were having the most vigorous discussion about this kind of stuff. There were some other things going on, some other folks, Bernard von Nothaus and folks like that. But conversation has been had, you know, is it possible? Is it not? Well, here's the problem. Bad guys knew that this system would fail. Like I just cited, Keynes himself wrote, knowing this would fail. The so-called subprime contagion was a microcosm of that. If you don't know, that was a put-up job. Go read Bruce Wiseman's article series, beginning with the financial crisis. A look behind the wizard's curtain. It was an excellent write-up on that. But basically, and Joan Vian and others, you know. So, basically, in simple terms, the subprime contagion was orchestrated by folks. I've talked about that many times in the past. It was not an accident. The final straw was the mark-to-market accounting change. So, you know, when Lehman collapsed, mortgage-backed securities, which had polluted, you know, because of the repeal of Glass-Steagall, had polluted every savings account everywhere, essentially. Mark-to-market accounting dictated that when Lehman failed, mortgage-backed securities were marked down to 6 cents on the dollar. Every account everywhere that had that asset class, those assets were marked down to 6 cents on the dollar. And so the SEC said that $25 trillion in liquidity evaporated virtually overnight, $10 trillion in the U.S. alone. And as a result of that failure that bad guys knew would happen because they orchestrated it, then there was the call to say, well, America is irresponsible, doesn't know how to handle its checkbook. And since America was called the lender of last resort, now what do? We have to, you know, maybe America should have a super regulator and should report to the IMF and the Financial Stability Board and all of these other globalist financial bodies. And this dollar situation that we're facing now is very much the same. And Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum about to tell us in a week from now how the Great Reset is going to work, and we can reimagine everything, including our own monetary system. But we're going to be subject to these greater financial powers. To me, that's the bigger issue. And I think that eclipses alcohol, tobacco, gas taxes, all of those other taxes. The inflation that has been perpetrated on us, I think, is the bigger issue. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back, Pat. Well, actually, before we do that, Melissa, I appreciate your question. Hopefully my answer did it justice, that impromptu sort of rambling. I hope it made sense. But, you know, you think of like the Money Masters documentary. So many people have written about this. Wasn't it the Money Masters where they interviewed a bunch of people on the street and said, hey, did you know that the Federal Reserve is not a part of the federal government? It's a fact the Federal Reserve acknowledges. People are astonished. What? That's not possible. That's a conspiracy. Yes, it is a conspiracy, but it's true. And yet it still just goes away. It goes away. It goes away. I think the inflation tax, the invisible tax of inflation, is a tax that could wake Americans up if we only understood. Hopefully my answer did justice to your question, Melissa, which I appreciate. Back to the phones. Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi. I'm wondering if Melissa wasn't thinking of what we used to call Tax Freedom Day. You don't hear much about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But since Trump went in, it's been going down. In 2018, it was April 19th. That's when you paid the nation's pay, the workers have paid all the taxes. And then 2015, it was 424, 16, 422, 2017, 421, 2018, 416, 2019, 416. And there's a crazy guy named James Dell Davidson. He wants a constitutional convention. I've tried to fight that thing since. I can't say Hitler was a corporal, but a long time, you know. and he predicted in 2016 we were going to have a crash. The stock market was going to fall. And he wrote Blood in the Streets, and now he's all over the world. But something called, I don't know, I thought it was a National Taxpayers Union, National Tax Limitation Committee or something, you know. There's another guy, Louis K. Euler. He has the same deal. They're running around. And they claim they're interested in you and your taxes, but they're just interested in the new Constitution. And you know what that'll do when they lay that on the table.
Right.
So,
yep, which is why I have opposed a constitutional convention as well. The first order of business is for people to understand, you know, attendees to understand the orthodoxy of the Constitution. And I don't think enough people do. For that to even be a conversation, it's a trap. We're being led into a trap.
I don't want anybody to forget him, because now I find out he's all over the world. He's conniving with Britain and everything.
Yeah.
Just keep your eye on some of those people. You're doing a good job. And you can't go on the internet and look up the owners of the Federal Reserve. Okay? We used to have a or Melissa, or what are you?
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Pat. Much appreciated, as always. That'll do it for today's broadcast. Let's talk about the government-led conspiracy to assassinate Martin Luther King Jr. and its broader implications. Maybe today. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.